On Tuesday, the Senate passed the Food Safety Modernization Act, and joining me now to explain what's in the bill, how it will change America's food system, and why the Senate might need to vote on the bill again is Brian Walsh, a staff writer for Time. I'm very pleased to welcome him back to our show for today's Backstory segment.
Hi. Hi, how are you doing?
Over the past summer, almost half a billion eggs were taken off the market in one of the nation's largest food recalls in history. Was that one of the reasons for this bill's passage?
Well, certainly it was the kind of problems we've had with food safety that was the backdrop for this bill, which has been a few years coming now. It's not just that. We have 5,000 people a year in America die from foodborne illnesses. Millions more are sickened. And we really haven't had a modernization of our food safety program going back now some 70 years. I mean, the laws that we operate under now essentially were put together during the Great Depression. So I think there was a sense very much so on both sides of the political aisle that it was time to really begin to fix this, to modernize this.
Well, it would have been time a long time ago. There was right. The tomato recall, the spinach recall, the peanut butter recall. Just yesterday, a recall was issued for some nutmeg over concerns about salmonella. What's been taking so long for new legislation to be passed?
Well, certainly there's, I mean, you have the food industry and the corporate food industry dragging its feet on this. I mean, their concerns are the same concerns you hear basically whenever you're talking about increasing regulation, which is that they say you'll see increased costs. But here there's also with food, there's another element as well. Of course, you have the major food players, but of course also you have a burgeoning small food industry, organic, locally produced. And I think there was a lot of concern early on with this bill that, you know, if you ended up putting on the sort of requirements that you'd want for big producers on those small local producers as well, you could actually snuff out that part of the food system. So that took some, I think, some back and forth and some real dialogue on the part of the makers of this bill before you got something which included actually a provision that sort of exempts producers who produce at that level. So that sort of kept them out of the game and made this easier to pass.
Well, this legislation has been in the works since 2008, and last year the House passed a more stringent version of the bill. Are there major differences in the Senate version that was just passed this week?
Well, the Senate version, I mean, doesn't require quite as much on the part of fruit producers as the House version. You have a situation here where I think ultimately the House will go for the Senate's version of the bill. In both cases, you have the really important part is that you strengthen the FDA considerably. I mean, what's astonishing, I think, to most people to when they find this out is the FDA can't actually independently order a food recall. Those food recalls are actually done voluntarily. All the ones you read about are done by the corporations or the producers themselves. So that part is in both of them. The real difference is that the House version also is going to impose more in the way of fees to pay for this, and that's going to be a problem going forward. This bill is likely to cost something along the lines of $1.4 billion, I believe, over the next 5 years. And the Senate version, in part, to get it passed, doesn't really have any means to pay for that right now. There's no additional tax, no additional provisions, anything like that. So that's going to be an issue. I mean, that was something that Senator Tom Coburn, who was standing in the way of this for a long time, was certainly concerned about, to say the least.
He was the bill's major opponent, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he was the bill's major opponent.
He had other reasons to object to it. What were his problems?
Well, his problems, I mean, he being you know, a free market absolutist, he saw this as overweening government regulation, and the free market would save us from E. coli and salmonella. So I think it came down to a philosophical, put that way, an ideological difference on his part. And he did hold off against us for a long time. This bill could have been passed, I think, by the Senate. Obviously, the bill had something like 75 votes when it finally was voted on a long time ago if Coburn hadn't been just opposing it at every step.
Although Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown seemed to think that the bill wasn't all that big a priority. He kind of complained about being called back to Washington to vote on it. Gail Collins said, well, I guess people dying of E. coli isn't all that important. But the bill did pass the Senate, as you say, with almost 75 votes, 73 to 25. 15 Republicans voted for it. But that means an awful lot of Republicans didn't vote for it.
That's true. I mean, but you have to look at the situation. I mean, bipartisanship in Congress is so rare these days. I mean, apparently the staffs from the Republican and Democratic side, the sponsors who were working on this bill, often when they were actually working on it, this is the first time they'd ever met this term. I mean, they literally do not talk to each other. And so it says a lot about this issue. I mean, it's frustrating that it took this long, I think, given that this problem has been so clear for so long. But it's also a little bit hopeful, at the very least, that the Senate finally was able to get this going. Of course, that's assuming that this procedural problem doesn't actually end up screwing things up again.
The Senate bill exempts many small farms. Haven't large-scale agribusinesses objected to that?
They have, yeah. I mean, they've said that it's not fair for small producers to be exempted from it. And you did have some of the sort of larger food producing trade groups, the United Fresh Produce Association, take away their support at the end out of that. But ultimately, I think that was an important part. That exemption was an important part of getting this bill passed. There's some of the opposition that was happening on the left as well.
Interestingly, it had the support of General Mills, Kraft Foods, and Monsanto. Mm-hmm. What was in the bill for them?
I think the bill that's more of a case where they had to realize that this was becoming a bigger and bigger PR problem. You simply couldn't ignore that, especially, I think, that 500,000 eggs, those 500 million eggs that were recalled over the summer was a sort of, in many ways, a last straw. Ditto with the issue with peanut butter earlier, where you had a real problem with the food system where we don't know, actually. It's very difficult to track the issues with food contamination, where you can actually have one single plant, one major producer, end up contaminating people around the country, and it's very difficult for the FDA to track that back. I think it was a situation where these major food producers knew they had to either get behind regulation or they were going to get regulated.
The first vote was delayed because Republicans wanted to move forward on earmarks legislation. Yesterday, Senate Republicans threatened to prevent a second vote until the tax cut issue is settled. So and now if this thing drags on a bit, the House, the makeup of the House will have changed an awful lot. Mm-hmm. Are we likely to see anything like this in a final bill?
I would think with a House that's controlled by the Republicans, it'll be a lot more difficult to get something like this passed, which is why this is such a priority for the leaders in the House to try to figure out this problem. I mean, what happened basically in terms of the Senate vote is there is a part of the provision in the Senate version of this bill that can be construed as putting taxes on certain producers if they end up having to be recalled, that they get cited for a penalty. Well, according to the Constitution, that's within the bounds of the control of the House. So now it seems as if you may have to have the Senate to go back and vote over this again. We've seen the Senate sort of stand up against the idea of doing anything else other than the tax cut issue right now. So I'm hoping, and certainly the White House is hoping, and the Democrats are hoping, that they can push this through. It would certainly be it would be a blow to the idea that anything can get done if a bill that had great support on both sides of the aisle gets lost because of this sort of procedural problem.
The bill as it is now constituted would give more power to the FDA. As you said, it would be able to initiate mandatory recalls. Will the FDA be able to handle its new authority?
That's a good question. I mean, again, when you have a situation where this bill is not paying for itself, it's not clear where the money for those additional inspectors, for those additional inspection visits that are mandated under this bill will come from. And also, another issue we have with the food system is that the authority and oversight often tends to be divided under a lot of bodies. Clearly, FDA has a major role too, but so does the Department of Agriculture. The bill hasn't really clarified exactly how those duties will be divided up and how we'll avoid overlapping and how we'll avoid spots being missed between those two. So this has to be seen as the beginning. And, of course, it is a bit frustrating that 70 years plus after the last time we've done an overhaul of our food safety laws, this is where we're finding ourselves. But at the very least, I mean, it does close some of the major loopholes that have existed for some time.
Well, it mandates better record keeping by mm-hmm. producers. But will there be more testing and inspections as well?
There will be more testing and inspections under this. I mean, one issue that they have to deal with, and hopefully it should be dealing with this as well, is that more and more of our food, of course, now, as you know, is imported. That's especially true for seafood. But our controls and oversight over imported food currently in the FDA is less than apparently 1 pound out of every million pounds that's imported into the U.S. gets really inspected. That should be beefed up. That will be beefed up. But it's worth wondering, as we see the globalization of the food system increase, whether even under the new law, if this law does go into effect, the FDA will be able to keep up with that.
Will the bill bring the United States in line with some other countries' food safety guidelines? I'm thinking about Europe. On the other hand, as you point out, there are other countries that seem to have no food safety concerns.
Right. It will get the U.S. closer to that European level. But in many ways, when you're talking about globalization for food, I would like to see more work being done by the U.S. government, by the FDA, actually overseas. I mean, to go to China to help them and to have inspectors on the ground there before you get that food to the United States, to have those countries and work to bring up their standards, because really that's the only way you'll be able to guarantee a safer food system as we do see globalization increase. In many ways, just like we see with infectious disease, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And in this case, the weakest link often is coming from China, countries in Asia.
When you think about it, how much our food system has changed over the last 70 years, isn't it kind of incredible that the regulations haven't been changed much at all?
It is incredible. I mean, it's a real lag that we've seen here. And, you know, it has to do with the fact that you've all long time had opposition from major food producers, from major agricultural companies, and they are very clearly very politically powerful.
And I'm assuming also senators and representatives from farm states.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, those companies have outsized political influence in those states, and of course, because of the makeup of the Senate especially, those states have an outsized influence within the makings of Congress. So that by itself has really held back any kind of progress on this. So as much as this law is lacking, and let's hope it still goes into effect, it does represent, you know, a pretty major step forward in the U.S. food safety system.
What is your sense? Do you think that we're going to actually have some meaningful legislation when the dust settles?
Right. Well, Tom Harkin, who's been the major force behind this, was just saying today that, you know, he feels confident that they'll get this done, and I'm, you know, it's very hard to say. I mean, this is a situation that's almost unprecedented in terms of the pressures that are under, that this lame duck Congress is under. All I can say is I certainly hope so. And if something like this can't be done, I don't have a lot of optimism for really anything getting done over the next 2 years, at the very least, in this Congress.
Brian Walsh is a staff writer for Time magazine. We've been talking about the Food Safety Modernization Act. The Senate version was passed with some problems that the Senate's lawyers did not pick up this past Tuesday. We hope that'll be cleaned up. I want to thank you so much for being part of our Backstory series.
Thank you.
Backstories look at the food safety bill.